I'm Carol Hills, and you're with The World. Big news today at the Supreme Court, where Justice Anthony Kennedy announced he's retiring. That will certainly impact future court decisions on all kinds of matters. Just this week, the court handed President Trump a big victory by upholding the latest version of his travel ban. We'll be sure to stay on that story and its impact in the days ahead. But for now, we're going to start off with what's being called the upset of the primary campaign season. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a 28-year-old Latina running her first campaign. And yesterday, she took down 10-term incumbent Congressman Joe Crowley in the New York Democratic primary. Like his opponent, Crowley had staked out liberal positions on key issues like Medicare for all and immigrants' rights. But on one hot-button topic, he and Ocasio-Cortez parted ways. The question of whether to abolish ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. Here they are debating the issue on local news.
This government is separating children from their mothers. It is antithetical to everything that I believe in, and that's what I fight for every day.
And you know what? If this organization is as fascist as you have called it,
I've said it's fascist.
And you have said it's fascist, then why don't you adopt the stance to eliminate it? This is a moral problem, and your response has been to apply more paperwork to this situation, to have ICE collect more information on immigrants, and that puts our communities in danger, and it also conveys a profound misunderstanding of how we should be approaching this problem.
Simply abolishing the agency doesn't take it out of the hands of Jeff Sessions or this president.
That was a few weeks before yesterday's upset vote. Felipe de la Hoz reports for the news outlet Documented. He says the future of ICE was a key issue for voters.
In New York particularly, which is 40% foreign-born and which has seen a kind of a spate of pretty, you know, intense stories lately with the arrest of Pablo Villavicencio, you know, a pizza delivery man at a military base. It's very front and center, the actions of ICE in the city. So I think that, you know, this particular cornerstone of her campaign really became one of the most prominent parts of it and really resonated with, you know, folks in her district.
This is all part of a much larger movement, a campaign called hashtag Abolish ICE. Cynthia Nixon, who's running against Governor Andrew Cuomo, has picked it up. So have more than 20 Democratic candidates for the House. How did the push to abolish ICE become a rally cry?
ICE as an agency has done about as poor of a job as you can do to sort of keep up public goodwill and public relations, and especially under the decline of discretion of the agency under the Trump administration, it's become kind of a real boogeyman. I think, though, it's important to keep in mind for folks that are kind of seeing the slogan and seeing the hashtag that there is no real standard definition as to what abolishing ICE really means. I mean, there's a plethora of gray areas of what such a policy could actually look like. And you know, that's something that's going to need to be parsed out.
Remind us how ICE came to be.
ICE came to be in 2003 as part of the newly constituted Department of Homeland Security and sort of the post 9/11 suite of legislation that included sort of the Patriot Act and some other things. And the functions that ICE has now used to be contained in an agency called the Immigration and Naturalization Service, INS, which is part of the Department of Justice. And that agency was broken apart into three: USCIS, ICE, and the Border Patrol Agency, Customs and Border Protection, and put into the Department of Homeland Security, which, you know, I think is important to note, also constituted a sort of a shift in mindset from something that was under the bureaucracy of justice of the Justice Department to something that was, you know, part of the bureaucracy of national security and sort of became more about terrorism and preserving national security than it did about being a criminal justice issue.
So under the current arrangement, there's the Department of Homeland Security, and then there's three immigration agencies, Citizenship and Immigration Services, Customs and Border Protection, and ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. So for the sake of argument, if you remove ICE, what isn't being done? What's no longer happens?
CBP handles only border protection, and ICE handles essentially the entirety of what's called interior immigration enforcement. So for people that aren't, you know, crossing any borders or anything, people that are already in the interior of the United States, ICE handles all enforcement, arresting people, detaining them, and deporting them. And it also has a couple of, you know, functions that actually do investigations with regards to child trafficking and some other things that are less, you know, publicly well known. But if you were to get rid of ICE in its entirety and not sort of reconstitute it in any way, what you would really have is just no more interior enforcement within the interior of the country of sort of civil immigration laws.
So until ICE was created, was there no interior enforcement?
There was by part of INS. It was under the Justice Department, and it certainly had a bit of a different philosophy and a different operational practice.
ICE employs some 20,000 people. It's known for, you know, as you said, removal operations, but it also combats criminal organizations, human traffickers, drug dealers. If ICE were abolished, what would happen to all those operations?
So there are different ways that an abolition of ICE could theoretically take place. One of the ones that is relatively common is to actually kind of take it and put it back into the Justice Department in some way. You know, get rid of the agency as it exists today and then have some sort of specialized officers that handle things like what you mentioned, child trafficking victims, some sort of high value trafficking, you know, investigations that take place, and just sort of taking some of those functions and putting them maybe under something like the FBI or a different investigative agency housed within the Justice Department. So abolishing ICE wouldn't necessarily get rid of all of that. It would just need to be moved elsewhere.
So is the Abolish ICE campaign rhetoric and a kind of liberal fantasy, or is there oomph behind it?
I think there's a definite appetite, and I think you saw that with Ocasio-Cortez's victory. I think there's a definite appetite to embrace that, and it's going more mainstream by the day. I personally do see it becoming ever more, you know, part of the standard Democratic platform, especially as we, you know, continue to head towards the midterm elections and then on to the 2020 presidential election.
Felipe de la Hoz reports for the news outlet Documented. It covers immigrants and the policies that affect their lives. Thanks a lot, Felipe.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.